Love to see you come out and support us here today. Allison Kwolek, the women's lacrosse coach, joins us now. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on.
Awesome. Appreciate you coming on. Now, you were on with John and Faxon the other day, and I love hearing the story and the inspiration that you have. But first, let's talk a little lacrosse. We have a lacrosse game tonight?
We do. Yeah, we scrimmage Furman tonight at 7 up at the lacrosse facility.
If you've not been, you have to go. I saw a promo video about it the other day, and I know everybody brags on facilities. Is this, I mean, tell us about your facility, because it looks, I mean, it's an amazing location, and what a great vista you guys have up there.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can sit in the stands, look out on the lake, have a nice breeze coming off the lake, too, but it's, you know, the best in the country. It's the only women's lacrosse facility in the country, and obviously when Clemson does something, they do it at the highest level, so we're super fortunate to have this facility. I think every time I come to work, I always say, I can't believe I get to work here, and I can't believe this is my office, and I can't believe my players have all of this, but it also makes everything super efficient for them to be able to go from film, to walk out to the field, to have the nutrition area there. So we are really fortunate to have all of that, for sure.
I'm going to ask you about the season coming up, but the number one recruiting class in the country, what did that facility mean? What does the support for Clemson mean to go ahead and get that kind of class?
Right. I think that, you know, when they came through, they had hard hats on, right, walking through, trying to visualize what it was going to look like. But what they could see, you know, before the walls went up was just the investment in student athletes and in female student athletes at Clemson, and knowing that, you know, not only were they going to get a phenomenal education, but they were going to be able to train and compete at the highest level, and to really grow as athletes too. So it's been really great just to see, you know, see everything come to fruition, and to see them on the field now at practice. But yeah, I mean, we've been stacking top recruiting classes, and, you know, where we are right now and watching, you know, the level of competition at practice is really exciting.
Meaning preseason rankings that will be coming out will be, they're not out yet, are they?
Just the early preseason ones. Yep. Yeah. those ones came out just, I think, for to start the conversation.
And we're going to be preseason top 10?
Could be top 10, top 15. I mean, I think, you know, obviously we finished in a really good position last year. And, you know, as exciting as that is to think about, you know, our rankings and being a top team, a lot of things need to come together. And the team is working really hard to be in that place come the end of the season.
All right. I got a full reveal for you here, full disclosure for you here. I know nothing about lacrosse,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm watching. I turned on last year. You guys are at Syracuse. Someone alerts me, we're upsetting Syracuse, and you're on this great run as it is. I turn it on. Coach, I'm nervous as can be. You're trying to run this clock out, and you had a nice lead there. And Syracuse, obviously a historic program. Should I be that nervous? Did you know you had this thing in hand? Because
no,
what a great win you guys had up there.
Yeah, you should always be nervous. I always talk about the thing that's so exciting about lacrosse is you can be up 6 or 7 goals with, you know, 6 minutes left on the clock, and you can still lose the game because you can score goals so quickly. So you're always, I feel like, always on the edge of your seat because momentum can change quickly.
Yeah.
But no, that was definitely an exciting win to go up to the Dome and to get that. Yeah.
One of the coolest things to see, and it's the infancy of a program, and I hope it never goes away, but to see, like, you're in your third season, and to see that kind of win, the emotion on your girls' faces, and, like, they weren't surprised, they knew they were going to win, but, man, the elation, I guess I could say, on their faces, that was awfully great to see.
Yeah, I think for me, too, it was you know, we had our returners, we had transfers, but for them to come together and understand the momentum-changing win that was for the program, you know, to beat a team, you know, a perennial powerhouse like Cuse, you know, really starts to change the tide of the direction that the program is going. And I was just, you know, as a coach, some of the most memorable experiences are those big wins, and that they get to leave the program, you know, and have these memories that last a lifetime.
We're talking with Allison Kwolek, the women's lacrosse coach at Clemson. All right, let me get into one of the reasons why we're here. Breast cancer awareness, Tigers for Tatas. You did this with John and Faxon again the other day talking about it. You're in the infancy stages of your program, and you get the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, walk me through that. Was it like just a routine checkup? Or like, what was
yeah,
that like?
I mean, I think that is like a big part of the story, because when you turn 40, and I turned 40 right before I came to Clemson, so in July, I got the job in August, That's when you start doing your annual mammograms. And I kind of pushed it aside because the first year here of trying to get, you know, players and building the team and having a team ready to compete the following year was incredibly overwhelming, very stressful. And my sole focus was on building the program and getting it going for the following year. And I got really lucky because my primary care physician here, his name is Kelly McCormick, he asked if I had gotten my mammogram yet. And I said, no. I wasn't really focused on it. I felt like I was completely healthy, like not something that I needed to do. And he made me the appointment and he was like, you have to go. And so my appointment was in right before season in January, February. And, you know, I 2 weeks later after I had my mammogram, they called me back. My whole team is walking up right now. I did not think that they were going to be here.
Well, let's stop the story now. That's a pretty cool scene right there, right?
Yeah. Didn't. Oh, you guys are coming on?
Yes. Yes, they're coming on. Tell us who we have, Coach.
This is Paris Masarakia. She is captain. A senior defender captain on our program and one of the first recruits that we brought in.
Now, that's pretty cool,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so she was here from day one.
All right. Now, Paris, I got to ask you. If you were not here right now supporting your coach and doing – what would you be doing at 7:30 in the morning right now?
We have a game tonight, so we'd probably all be in bed sleeping still.
Right.
But yeah, we were all just excited to come out here and support Allison because she supports us day in, day out. So we're happy to be here.
I'm going to start crying.
All right. I got to tell you, Trey told me that's what happened.
Yeah.
Wait, Trey set all this up for the girls to come out and everything. Aww. And he said, be prepared because Coach might get a little emotional for
yeah.
us. But that's,
yeah.
that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I am. Yeah. I think they all know. Maybe the freshmen don't know, and our newest transfers don't know. But I am definitely an emotional person, and yeah. I can cry very easily.
Well, I don't want to make you cry now, but what does that feel like knowing and seeing what we're seeing right now?
I mean, they're just. I always say when I talk to people about the team, like they're just such wonderful people, and I love being around them. And you know, they bring a lot of joy to my life and my family's life. And I think, you know, when you come out to practice, you know, for me, I hope that they feel like there's a lot of laughter. Like obviously, they're working hard, they're competing. You know, we're coaching them up, but it's a fun place to be. And they're not only growing as athletes, but growing as people at Clemson. But yeah, I mean, they are just awesome people. Again, I can't speak highly enough about all of them, but they're just so great to be around.
Paris, we talk about Clemson family all the time. I was reading some stuff about you and your family and your mom, some awesome quotes there. Tell me about Coach and the relationship you had and why Clemson and why Coach Allison.
Yeah, I think just stepping on campus for the first time in general, like it's Clemson, like everybody wants to be here and you automatically have that family feeling. And then my visit, like Allison just really talked about how she wants to not have just a roster, but she wants to have like additional family. We're part of her family. Like Mark's always with us, and Olivia's always with us. There's always, like, the kids behind the field as we're playing. So their families are always around us, and they're always, like, talking with our families. So it's just huge, like, having Allison and having that support system. She's there for us no matter what, always, 24/7. And that's just huge and something really special and not everybody gets to have. So we're just really grateful to have someone like Allison.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Coach, a little brown nosing on there. That's pretty good that she knows what to say to for playing time. But now, what kind of player is Paris? What are we talking about? What's her skill set?
Gosh, so much.
Yeah.
She is just a lockdown defender. I always, you know, when I talk about my defenders, you know, and I think the highest like thing that you could give them was, you know, I wouldn't want Paris playing defense on me. She's just super scrappy, really like physical, strong. You know, historically we've always matched her on the top attacker on another team, and you know, she's taken that role really well and done such a great job. And just like, again, just, you know, I always say too, like her personality on the field, very different from who she is off the field.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, she turns into like a whole nother person on the field and is sweet as can be off the field.
We talk about leadership all the time. What is being a captain? What does leadership mean? I'll ask you first, Coach, the leadership of this team especially.
Yeah, I mean, I think leadership comes down to, you know, having your eyes on everybody, right? You can't focus on yourself. And I always say, you know, freshman year, yeah, your focus needs to be on you because you're just dealing with a lot of new things. And then as you get older in the program, like that focus needs to spread to everybody. And especially by the time you're a senior and a captain on the program, like your thoughts first and foremost always have to go to the people around you, and you are always secondary to them. And I think Paris really does a great job with that.
Paris, how did this come about? Like how'd y'all get here today? Tell me about walking in and how this works.
Yeah. So, I mean, Trey texted me today to set this up and was like, do not let Allison find out. So yeah, all week we've kind of been working behind the scenes to like figure this out, where we're going to park, how we're going to get here without Allison finding out, because I feel like she knows everything, like no matter where we are, which is such a good thing. But yeah, it was hard to keep this from you.
Really cool. All right, big one tonight. This is exhibition season. All right, let me ask you first, Paris. Expectations are higher now. Oftentimes that means added pressure. How do you take pressure off? How do you meet those expectations and kind of embrace what's going on right now in the program?
Yeah, so we have a lot of talent this year, and like years past we've also had a lot of talent, and it's just exciting to see how the program keeps getting, you know, bigger and better. But you know, just relying on my teammates, we do have a lot of expectations this year, but everybody knows that and everybody's going to support each other through that, and Allison's, you know, talking us through that and telling us not to, you know, think about those expectations and the pressure. Just go out there, play our game, and, you know, we prepared for this, so we just have to do our thing.
All right, here's a question for you. Number one recruiting class coming in, freshman, obviously talented, upperclassmen, you got to let them know they're still freshmen, though, right? You got to remind them of that a little bit. How good is that freshman class?
Oh, I mean, they're amazing players, and they're amazing people. Just, you know, having them on the field is huge, but also off the field, they definitely add to the culture of the team. I mean, we have some sharpshooters, so, yeah. I mean, it's awesome to see.
Coach, you mentioned facilities, your culture and your brand, but what does it mean for like people like Paris to come in when you're trying to recruit those kind of players coming in here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when Paris was here, I think she saw a gravel parking lot and some trees, yep. And I was
a
like, this is
now,
where
huh?
it's going to be, and hopefully it's going to be built in 2 years. And so I think it's just really special for her and our other seniors to really see kind of, I think, one, what our culture was like year one, where everybody's trying to figure out where their classes are, what it's like, you know, downtown in the evenings, trying to make friends, and now to where, you know, the team is now and just how much work and effort that they've put in to, you know, drive this program forward and have a really strong culture.
All right, exhibition tonight, Furman, at the most beautiful, the best facility in the country. What time and what folks need to know about coming out and seeing you guys?
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock up at the lacrosse complex next to the rowing complex, too. And gymnastics practice facility is up there. Plenty of parking. It's free. So you can just come on up. We're going to play a full regulation game, so it should last about two and a half hours. But yeah, I mean, it should be beautiful weather tonight, and you come sit in the stands and watch the game.
Any more fall action before the spring season?
We do. We in right after fall break, football will be home on Saturday, and we'll play two games against Elon and Liberty on Sunday, and then our final weekend I think is the 25th, and we'll travel up to Maryland and play Hopkins and Navy.
How about the regular season schedule? When does it start, and what kind of schedule do you put together?
Yeah, so we start in February. We'll open against Vanderbilt at home. Obviously, the ACC is the best conference in the country, so we'll have a fully loaded you know, docket with ACC games. But we'll also play Florida and a couple other you know, solid non-conference games too. But yeah, it should be exciting.
All right, can you guys hang on through a break? Anybody got 8 o'clock classes? You got an excuse, Coach? Can write them an excuse. Nobody has to go to 8 o'clock this morning. Can you hang on through a break?
Yep.
I want to ask you, ask both of you, and Paris, prepare for this, because Allison went through the breast cancer and went through the diagnosis, and like you learning all about that in your very first season and what that meant to you and your family and your team. So if you guys can hold through a break, we'll do that.
Sounds great.
All right, let's take a short break. Sam will come back. We're at Eggs Up Grill. You got to come meet the women's lacrosse team. We're going to be a top 10 team this season, the preseason maybe, and come out and see them tonight. But come out first to Eggs Up Grill in Clemson. We'll take a short break. Much more with Clemson Lacrosse right after this.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE. Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstrapproofing.com.
Fall means football. Tailgates and Clemson Tigers. Make the Tiger Sports Shop your first stop before kickoff with the latest Clemson gear, from cozy fall hoodies to the latest Nike sideline gear. We've got everything you need to show your Tiger pride. Shop in store at either one of our two convenient Clemson locations, Tiger Boulevard and College Avenue, or skip the line and order online at tigersports.com. The Tiger Sports Shop, where Clemson fans make Tiger Sports Shop their game day headquarters. Everything Clemson all day, every day.
At Ben Mason Insurance, we don't just provide insurance, we offer peace of mind to our upstate community. Whether it's auto insurance, home insurance, or life insurance, we're dedicated to safeguarding what matters most. Located at 188 Blaylock Road, Boiling Springs, we're here and ready to serve you. Call us today, 864-578-7100, and let us tailor a policy that fits your needs. Ben Mason Insurance, your trusted partner in protection.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from A&PM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to A&PM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos and Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac Home Standby Generator. For a free estimate today, call Central Electrical Services, the full service and warranty dealer for Generac Home Standby Generators, at 864-556-8002.
Injured in a wreck and now the insurance company's ghosting you? Classic move. They're quick to collect premiums, but when you need help, disappeared. I'm Trey Mills with the Tramlin Mills Law Firm. We don't chase, we confront. You call us and we bring the pressure, loud and legal. What's up, QB? We're about to ring your bell. We may talk a little trash, but we back it up with action. Call 864-485-8585 or visit tramlinmills.com. Tramlin Mills, we don't do quiet.
Are your kids climbing the furniture like it's their full-time job? Been there, done that. So save the furniture and really climb a wall at Blockhaven, Greenville's indoor bouldering gym. Think of it as the place where the whole family can burn energy, have fun, and maybe even find their next obsession. New to climbing? Awesome! They've got over 200 routes that change monthly, so there's always something new to try and plenty of ways to burn off that back-to-school energy. Even better, Blockhaven is built for all ages. Kids and adults climb the same walls side by side. It's active, screen-free time that actually wears the little ones out. And hey, you might even have fun too. Just dropping in? Great! Want to come more often? They offer youth memberships, after-school clubs, camps, and even a competitive climbing team if your kid really catches the climbing bug. Mention the Roar at the front desk for 20% off your first day pass. So swing by Blockhaven, where your kids can climb higher, you can try something new, and nobody's stuck on the bench.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931, when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here. Join Nick Costello and I live this Friday night on the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Ingalls. This week, we're at Powdersville High School, where the Patriots take on the Cavaliers of Christchurch Episcopal in a matchup of two teams with playoff aspirations. Pregame starts at 7, kickoff at 7:30, live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
The Roar, the only place in the upstate where you can get 13 hours of live and local sports talk daily. Oh, believe me, we've checked. We are The Roar, where every day is
game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us here on a Thursday from Eggs Up Grill. I want to tell you about One Time Plumber. The name is the number One Time Plumber. Charleston, Greenville, and Columbia. If things do go wrong, you never know. You don't plan. Paris, this is for you. You don't have to worry about plumbing, right? You're a college student. You don't have to worry about when you get your own house, something's going to go wrong. It's going to be a septic tank. It's going to be any kind of drainage type things or hot water heaters or disposal. Something to go wrong. One Time Plumber. The name is the number. Get in touch with those good folks when it does come that way. We are here in support of breast cancer awareness. Alan Quick, the women's lacrosse coach, is with us, and we're talking about really one of the most interesting stories I've heard about breast cancer awareness. You're starting a program. You're in year one, and you get the diagnosis. Let's go back to it. Before your team pleasantly surprised us here today, yeah. You're telling us about your you'd put it off a little bit there after you turned 40, but you yeah. had the diagnosis.
Yeah, so my doctor made the appointment for me, and the appointment was, I want to say, like, end of January, beginning of February, but that's preseason, right? So I am going a mile a minute with the team trying to get them ready for the first season. So I almost canceled the appointment because I was like, I'm just too busy. And so, you know, I ended up going, had the mammogram. A couple weeks later, it said that there was some difficulty reading some of the information from the imaging, which is, I think, normal, right, for your first one.
You had not had any previous.
I had not had any previous, so that was normal. So I went back in to have another mammogram. They asked me to stay to have an ultrasound done, and that's when I started getting a little bit nervous. And then I remember texting my husband and being like, hey, they want me to stay for some more imaging. Like, I'm starting to get nervous.
How long of a time frame are you talking about here?
So it was two. So we had already started playing, I think. We had our first game. I went back for that imaging in Greenville, and you know, so she's doing the ultrasound, and I thought to myself, well, I know this probably isn't good if the doctor comes in to talk to me. Yeah. And so she left, you know, the technician left, doctor came in, and I was like, this isn't good.
Yeah.
You know, and they said that they, you know, they found some suspicious stuff in my breast tissue, and it looked like one of my lymph nodes was involved. I had to go to the scheduler right away, and they said basically this is somebody that needs to come back right away to start to get the biopsies
done. In your
done.
Head, you're thinking,
I'm
that's,
spinning,
yeah,
yeah.
Right,
and
right.
I'm like, you know, and I think the thing that was so important, because I was really naive to breast cancer, and you know, as a family, we were fortunate. We didn't have anybody in our family, like my aunts and my mom, like nobody had been affected by it. So I just didn't know that much. I knew that you had to do the self-checks and all of that stuff, but there are different types of breast cancer, and mine was lobular. And so lobular cancer grows like a spider web, like in lines and not in a mass. So a self-check wouldn't have worked for me. Like, I needed to have the mammogram to find it. And it had been growing for a long time, and it had already gotten into my lymph nodes. We were in season. I was in the office when I, you know, nowadays they can, you get, you know, you don't have to wait for a phone call from the doctor. You get an email that has your results, right? So you can try, you know.
You know what the results are saying? Like, is it
well,
pretty
so,
clear?
I mean, yes. It said that I had cancer.
You got it in an email?
In an email. You know, going back to all my biology classes, I was like, I know what this is. Right. And I was in the office. And so I left, came home, talked to my husband. And
what's that conversation like?
It was really overwhelming because you're trying to process, like, not only do I have breast cancer, but I have a different type that is a little bit more aggressive. And, and I'm trying to figure out, like, one, how far along is this? Like, how, you know, you process a lot. And I think everybody that's, you know, have been through this situation, you're trying to be like, am I going to die from this?
Sure.
Right. So you're all of a sudden you're thinking about death. And you can't go in and meet with your medical team, your oncologist, you know, the radio, all of that. You don't meet with them right away. So you have to process this information by yourself.
How long to the lag time till you meet with them?
Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks till I met with the whole medical team.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I had, my sister fly down. She's a veterinarian, so she has a little bit more medical background, you know, than most people. But she came down just because I needed more of a professional voice in that room with me. So I was lucky that
you're probably one of the few clients of hers that actually spoke, you know, like can speak. Right.
Right. Yeah. But it was, you know, I would say the medical team, you know, you meet with all the different doctors that you're going to, you know, the surgeon, the oncologist, you meet with them all to try and figure out what your plan is. And my plan meant that I needed to have surgery right away because it was already progressing so quickly. So all of that was happening while I was trying to give my team, you know, the attention that they needed and that they earned. So it was, you know, I think I did a really good job when I think back on it on compartmentalizing, you know, between, okay, when I'm not with a team, like this has to be my focus on my health. And then when I am with the team, like that's my focus. And again, you know, being around them, they're really easy to be around. They bring a lot of joy. We have a lot of fun together. So it was like two different parts of my life kind of happening simultaneously.
When did, you have a young daughter. Mm-hmm. How old was she when you got your diagnosis?
She was four.
How do you handle that?
Yeah, so I had to Googled it, as we all do.
Right.
We don't know how to handle something.
Right.
I was like, let's
Google
it.
They didn't give you that in a mommy handbook,
no,
right?
No. And so I, you know, we didn't tell her a lot because we understood that with her age that she wouldn't be able to process like anything. So we told her that there was something bad in mommy's body that needed to come out and that I was going to have surgery to have it taken out. When I had the mastectomy, it was also really overwhelming because it was the first major surgery I've ever had in my life. And we definitely hid that from her for a couple of weeks until everything like really healed. And then obviously I wanted to make sure that I was really upfront with her and had her feeling like comfortable about how my body was changing. And so it was great. I mean, we joked about, I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but we always joked about mommy just having one boob and we laughed about it.
Right.
Tried to make it like a positive thing of okay. Just this is, you know.
How do you tell your team? At what point in time do you tell your team this?
Yeah, so I told them, I think they knew, right, as best as I could try and not seem concerned when I was around them, they could tell. And so I had found out the diagnosis the day before we were playing at Notre Dame, and I was crying a lot, on the plane going there. I didn't give them the pregame talk. Our associate head coach did that. So I just knew that I had to like limit how much I was around them because I didn't want to affect them in like such a big game. So they did start to tell. And then I told them after we played Duke, just what the diagnosis was. And again, with all of them, you know, and a lot of, not a lot of them, but a handful of them have experience with family right. members, right? And so they understand what that looks like. But I also use it as a way to just have a conversation with them about your health is your priority. And I didn't prioritize it, you know, when I, you know, was making the transition here. And it always has to be your number one is your health and making sure that you're staying on top of that. And then talking to them about the type of cancer that I had, again, relatively healthy kind of going into it. And then all of a sudden everything changed pretty quickly.
All right. The surgery was obviously successful. All right. I'm not obviously. Was it successful right off the bat? Did you know pretty soon?
Yeah.
Was it a success?
The surgeon was really great. So, you know, when you have the surgery, they have to test the surrounding tissue to make sure that there's no cancer present in any of the tissue. And they said that they got really clean lines. Everything looked great. And I think what I didn't realize is, you know, that surgery after that, it wasn't like the end of the journey, right? Because then you have to think about reconstruction and what you want to do for reconstruction. You have to think, you know, I had radiation treatment. So then, I had to go every day to get radiation treatment. So it was just the start of, I call it my surgery journey.
How
and
long
everything.
Is that process, the start of that? I mean, the start of it, but the start of how long?
Yeah, so I had to have 25 sessions of radiation. So you have to wait until, obviously, your surgery heals up, and then you go in and have radiation. And that whole thing, I mean, they run the, you know, that part of it, like, just so professionally. Like, you don't really wait very long. You come in, you change, and then you have your radiation. And radiation takes probably 30 minutes, maybe, and then you're out and on to the next thing of your day. But yeah, I had 25 sessions. They don't really love you to skip sessions, so you do five in a row, and then you have the weekend off, and then you do five in a row. And again, when a lot of people handle radiation, you know, you don't know how your skin's going to react to that. I was fortunate that, you know, I by the end, I was maybe a little red, but some people, it's like having a really bad sunburn, and they can have a really bad reaction to that. And then after all of that, I had to wait for that to heal. And then really it was a year later where I started to then have to think about, you know, what I wanted to do, my options for reconstruction and everything.
Okay. Then obviously things go well now. Mm-hmm. Are you, your current health a little moving forward? 100% healthy? Do you have to go back? Is there a risk, a future risk involved?
Yes, I think there's always that future. You know, you have to kind of stay on top of. You know, I think you know right after the diagnosis, you see your oncologist every 3 months, and now I'm every 6 months. But I alternate between getting a mammogram on my other side and then also an MRI every 6 months to just make sure everything is still good.
So there was a definitive moment in there where the doctor tells you it's a success, right? Is there, mm-hmm. you know, like, okay, I'm over the hump, you got that meeting with the oncologist then?
Yeah, I mean, they tell you that there's, you know, that they don't see, there's no evidence of cancer anywhere. I think always in the back of your head, you're like, well, is it floating around somewhere else? And like, you know, it's just, you know, growing somewhere else. And because it went in my lymph nodes, I think I was a little bit nervous, but I think at this point, I don't really think about it that often. You know, I just, you know, every time I, you know, have my MRI and just keep an eye on it. And once that comes back fine, then I'm like, okay, like everything is still fine. But it always lingers in the back of your head that, you know, it could come back.
What's the conversation like with your family, with your team, when you do tell them the good news that it was a success?
I mean, I think it was great. I mean, we were, again, progressing further along into the season. And, you know, I think the focus really just shifted to, you know, what we were trying to do year one. And obviously, that, you know, that goal year one was trying to get into the NCAA tournament, which we narrowly missed out on. But no, I mean, I think it was just like for them to see that you can do hard things, right?
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, they do it in a lot of different ways every day, but you can make it through the really hard times, and you need to lean on people. And I think that's what I did. You know, I always say I was really fortunate to be in Clemson and have the Clemson University and the athletic department, because I really leaned on them. I leaned on our doctors here to help me navigate and connect with other doctors, but that helped tremendously to be able to have people that you could be like, I need help. Like, can you help me? You know, obviously being at Clemson, everybody did.
All right, Paris. This is not your typical freshman experience, first year experience. By the way, every lacrosse game in the history of Clemson lacrosse you played in, that's pretty cool. There'll be a point in time when it won't be the case, unless you keep running like 8 or 9, 10 years like we do some athletes nowadays. But walk me through like what your deal was. I got about a minute or so before the top of the hour, but like this is not your typical what you signed up for, right?
Yeah. So being their inaugural season already, there were so many like new aspects of like the game, the team, like so many new things coming in as a freshman. And then I remember the day that Allison like brought us all into the locker room. We were practicing at Riggs, and she like told us, and she started getting emotional, and she was like, I'm not like upset or scared. I'm just like emotional because I have to tell you guys. And like, it was that moment when I was like, we're more than just like a roster number to her. Like, we're actually her family, and like, we need to support her through it. But you know, she just, I mean, she's so brave, and like you see that not just through like this process, but like on a daily basis. And it was like 3 days after surgery, and she's showing up to practice, and we're like, maybe like you should like go sit down. Like, and she grabbed a stick, and she was like, no, like you guys need to do this instead. And we're like, okay, like should you be doing this right now? But I mean, she showed up for us like every day, even though she was going through this crazy process. And it was, I mean, it was scary for her, and it was scary for us, because we just wanted her to like get better. We didn't really, at that point, we didn't really care what was going to happen with the season. Obviously we wanted to like make it to NCAAs, but we were more worried about like our coach than we were anything else.
That's such a cool story. I tell you what, if you're not a Clemson lacrosse fan now, you're never going to be. Tonight, Furman, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
Free. Coach, I can't thank you. Paris, can't thank you enough, and the whole team for coming by. What a story. Breast cancer awareness. Take care of that, folks. Do all that, and go see some Clemson women's lacrosse tonight.